It seems that this debate is always going on, but we have July 4th coming up in about a week and a half, and so maybe especially at this time, thinking about the founding of our nation. But the debate is, you know, whether we are a Christian nation, whether we ever were a Christian nation, whether we began as that, and what that means for us now. And I'm not going to get into that debate this morning, other than to say that there is a researcher, and I believe he's at the University of Notre Dame, and I forgot to check that this morning, but his name's Christian Smith. And Christian Smith has done research, especially on folks in my generation and younger. And he says that really, no matter how many people say they're Christians, he says their actual religion is something that he calls moralistic therapeutic deism. Sounds really attractive, doesn't it? Like something you'd want to... But what that means is that most people, and I think this is true for these generations, and it might even be true a little bit up. Most people believe in a God who basically just wants them to do good things, to behave well. God wants to be there for them, to comfort them when they need it. But God is generally, the deism part is God is generally distant and uninvolved in life. So God wants us to be good. He's going to comfort us when we're down. But generally, God is uninvolved and rather distant, doesn't have much a role in our lives. And that affects, if we believe in that God, how we live. It believes how we worship. It believes our perspective, our view on life on a day-to-day basis. Peter is writing a letter to Christians dispersed amongst all kinds of different cities in modern-day Turkey. And he's answering the question, he's helping them to answer the question, how should we live as Christians? And in chapter 2, he gets into not just what should you do, although he gets into that a little bit, but who is this God? What is the kind of life God is calling you to? And what he says, I believe, is that God, the Christian God, the God who is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, is not a God merely to be believed in and obeyed. The Christian God is a God to be tasted and craved and longed for and served like a fine dish to the world. God is not distant. God is to be experienced. And the verse I want to really zero in on today is the two verses are verse 2 and 3, where Peter writes, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We see Peter drawing on Psalm 34, which was our call to worship, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he gives this image of the little child, the newborn infant. This is not a fully rational creature. This is someone who simply craves what he or she knows that he or she needs to survive. And that, friends, is what Peter says we are like to Christians, that we crave, we long for God. Because by this spiritual milk, the milk of the Spirit, we grow into salvation. God, we crave God, and it's by God's presence, by the spiritual milk that we are fed and that we experience, that we grow. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, I always ask this question, how come all of the foods that I really desire and crave are not the foods that help me to grow, yeah, at least in the way I want to grow? How come these are not the same thing? And what Peter is saying, these are the same thing. The very thing we crave, the gospel, the presence of God, is the thing that allows us to grow up into salvation, into the life we were created to live. And he says, you will do this. You will crave, like a newborn infant, the spiritual milk, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I was curious about this word, good. And so I did a little research. And it turns out that while good can mean, when talking about a person, moral and upright, It also means, when speaking of food, healthy or tasty. And that's the image he's giving of this milk. And so you might say, if you have tasted that the Lord is delicious. God is to be experienced. It's the most intimate sense, isn't it? Taste. Something entering into your body that you experience, and you, in every way, you experience food, right? You touch it and you taste it and you smell it. All of these things. That is God to be experienced. And if you have tasted the delicious goodness of God, that is what you will crave. Many of us don't crave God. What if we really tasted and experienced? Friends, if you've experienced and tasted the beauty of forgiveness and reconciliation, not just from God, but in your own life, have you experienced the beauty of being forgiven or forgiving someone else and having a broken relationship be mended? Have you experienced that? Then why would you even want to harbor revenge or bitterness or hold grudges? If you've experienced that, if you've tasted it, right? And that's why Peter, then he gets into how we act, how we behave, and he says, rid yourselves of all malice and guile and insincerity and envy and slander. And these are things that destroy community and destroy relationships. And he says, rid yourselves of all these things, because if you've tasted the goodness of the Lord who forgives and brings reconciliation, you won't even want those things anymore. And if you've tasted real, full-hearted worship, and sung not just with your lungs and your vocal cords, but if you've sung with your heart because you've experienced the joy of the gospel, that's what you want to do. You don't want to stay in bed on Sunday. Well, some Sundays you might want to stay in bed. But most Sundays you do not want to stay in bed. You want to, you crave to sing praises to the Lord with the people of God. If you've experienced someone's life being completely transformed because Jesus came in and by his Spirit began to transform them and bring them joy and bring them out of whatever destructive lifestyles they were in and into a new life, you're going to proclaim, as Peter says, proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into marvelous light. If you've tasted that, you want to do it, you want to see it, you want more of it because you know that that is good and delicious and it helps you to grow and be healthy. Peter isn't just telling us, obey God, believe in God, believe that God exists. He's saying experience and crave God. Personally, I am a student at heart. I love to learn. I love to study. I liked seminary and college and high school before that. And so I encourage us a lot of times to study the scriptures, to dig into them, to learn, to seek to understand them more, to know what God is saying in his word. And this is all good, but I know, and this is sometimes I can get stuck in that, and I know that that is not where it ends. We don't just know about God. We're called to know God by experience. And I've tasted. And even if sometimes I get stuck in that, I know that there's more. We need to study, but we need to experience. And this got me thinking about my mother-in-law. Some of you have met Andrea. And she is a phenomenal vacation planner. She really is. She loves doing it. She loves to plan vacations. She loves researching it all and finding the right hotels and figuring out what are the attractions that you need to see. And my in-laws took us to Italy a number of years ago, and she planned it all out. It was an amazing trip. If Lauren and I hadn't forgotten our passports in Florence when we were about to fly out of Rome, it would have been a perfect trip. But regardless, that was out of her control. So she planned this amazing trip to Italy. And she carried around this book, this Rick Steves Guide to Italy with her. It was like her Bible, and everywhere we went, she was saying, well, this is where we should go, or maybe not. She's a great vacation planner. And so one time I said to her, you know, Andrea, I think maybe you should have been a travel agent. She looked at me and she said, no, I can never be a travel agent. Because once I plan the trip, I can't just send other people there. Once I plan the trip, I want to be there. I want to experience it. That, friends, is what God is calling us to. To know this life, to know this God that has been revealed to us through the scriptures and through Jesus, to know about him, to know how God works, because without planning and preparation and study, a vacation is chaos. But you have to experience then the vacation. You have to experience the place, the kingdom of God, the presence of God. That's what it's about. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that Jesus came to share with us, is that we can experience God. We can encounter and taste this life, this God. When God could have just said something from heaven, some proclamation, but he came to be with us, so people experience the touch and smell and words and voice and sight of God walking around this earth. And he showed us, he allowed us to experience what it was like, what it's like to live in the presence of God. We see Jesus communing with his Father so richly throughout his life. And Jesus died on the cross. So any barrier that we had from our sin and all the times we turn away and desire other things could be taken away. So why? So we could be with an experience. There's no barrier. So we could commune, be in community with God. And the resurrection says you have a living God that's alive, that can be experienced and tasted. And Pentecost, it's great. We're in the season of Pentecost. And it's about the Spirit coming amidst us, in us, inside of us, and in our communities, that we experience the presence of God. That's the good news, that we can taste and delight and crave, have our cravings fulfilled for the salvation, all of what God has for us now and forever. So as Christians, we don't just obey God, though we do obey God. And there are times when it feels like obedience. It doesn't always feel easy and wonderful. And we don't just believe in the existence of God, although we do, hopefully, believe in the existence of God. We taste God. We experience God. We delight and take pleasure in the presence of God. And we serve this dish to a world so they can taste as well. Let's pray. God, let us taste the delicious goodness of you and the life you've called us to. That no matter where our lives take us, we would crave your presence and to live in your kingdom above anything else. Amen.